Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erechin Daf Yud Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today we begin with the Mishnah, 12 lines from the top of Daf Yud Dalet. The Mishnah. Bisdei achuza lahokel ulahachmir ketzad. It should be pointed out that this Mishnah, in effect, is a continuation of that which we saw in a previous Mishnah that listed off several different topics where you have this phenomenon of Lahokel and Lahachmir. With regard to a Stei Achuza, this is a reference to an inheritance field, that at the time of the entrance of the Jewish people into the land of Israel, the land was divided amongst the different tribes, and that set into motion a system of ownership of fields, which through the generations were passed down through inheritance from father to son. That's a Stei Achuza. So with regard to this topic of Stei Achuza, you will find, as opposed to a Stei Mikneh, which is a field that one purchases from an authentic or original owner, a Stei Achuza is an inheritance field, and you will see this contrast between the Stei Mikneh versus the Stei Achuza. With regard to the Stei Achuza, you have two possible extremes. In one case, an extreme leniency, and in another case, extreme stringency. Ketzad. How is this understood? Echon hamakdish b'cholas hamachoyz, ve'echon hamakdish Bipardesois sabasti. These are two different extreme types of fields. Makdish is a reference to one who sanctifies or dedicates to the Beis HaMikdash his inheritance field, whether it be Choylas HaMachos, which for our purposes, based on the Shita Mekubetzes, is a field that won't be productive agriculturally. It doesn't produce fruits. It's an unarable type soil. As opposed to the Pardesa Sabasti, which is a very high quality agricultural field, no matter whether it be this Cholas Mechoz or Pardesa Sabasti, when one wants to redeem it from the Beis HaMikdash, remember we mentioned that he was Makdish, this he dedicated these fields to the Beis HaMikdash, so he wants to redeem them. Noisein zera chomer sorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. This line is a reference to a Torah rate of redemption, a fixed rate of redemption, regardless of the quality of the field. And that Torah rate is the area that's called zera chomer sorim, which is an area known as a base core. Per base core, if the sanctification took place at the beginning of a yovel cycle is a cycle of 50 years. So for 50 years, if one had dedicated the field at the beginning of the yovel cycle, that means that if there's no, without any intervention, the field will remain in the reshus of the Beis HaMikdash for the next 50 years. If one wants to redeem the field that he was makdish at the beginning of this yovel period, in other words, he was makdish and then decides he wants to buy it back, he will pay this rate, 50 shekel kesef per core. Core is an area per core of field. So if he was makdish, let's say, 3 core, he would have to pay 150 shekel kesef. Shekel kesef being an amount of money. 50 shekel kesef. That's 50 per core. If, however, he redeems it after a few years passes, so then he will reduce based on the number of years left till the next Yovel, he will reduce the rate. The rate is reduced by a shekel and punyon. Punyon is a type of small coin. It's 1/48 of a shekel. He'll reduce it by a shekel and punyon per year that has gone by since the previous Yovel. But for our purposes, so as we don't get too involved with numbers and calculations, let it be made clear that when it comes to the redemption of a stei achuza, the redemption rate is fixed in the Torah, regardless of the quality of the field. And that's what's meant by lehokel ulahachmir. Lehokel means if it's a very high quality field, so this would be a rather low rate relative to the value of the field. If it's a very poor quality field, so then this would be a stringency, requiring the person to pay this relatively high rate for redemption. Ubestei mikne, on the other hand, the stei mikne is a purchase field that's not a field that one gained through inheritance from his forebears. It's a field that he may have purchased from someone else, and he happened to dedicate it to the Beis HaMikdash. So no sein es shavyo. He will pay the market rate, a market value of that field to the Beis HaMikdash in order to redeem it. Rabbi Lezer disagrees with the Tanakam and says, Echod stei mikne ve'echod stei achuza. Both have the Torah, the fixed Torah rate of 50 shekel per base core for redemption. Ma bein stei achuza l'stei mikne. So what's the difference between these two kinds of fields? Answer, is practical difference, that is, shebestei achuza hu no sein chomesh. The owner, when he wants to redeem his stei achuza, he adds a fifth of the value. However, if someone wants to redeem the stei mikne, u'stei mikne eino no sein chomesh, the one who comes to redeem a stei mikne, so he does not add a fifth of its value. Before we go further in the Gemara, we glance at the outside margin and notice our Nosei heading. Nosei is a topic heading in Gemara markings. The Shas Ozer, which is the Shas that it serves as the cornerstone of Gemara markings, we offer topic headings and structural notes in the outside margin. In this case, under our Nosei heading, we've written Dinoi Shel Rav Huna. Rav Huna's Halacha, Hamakdish Soda Malea Ilonos. A person was makdish a field full of trees. Kishu poidon, when he comes to redeem them, poida ilonos b'shavyon, he'll redeem the trees using the market rate, the value on the market of those trees. The chozer boda karkalafi tarif haturo base choymer sorim b'shamishim shekel. In redeeming the karka, he will pay the fixed Torah rate for that redemption. What we might as well note, according to Rav Huna, we're saying that when he comes to redeem, he doesn't redeem the fields along with the field, but rather a separate payment is made for the redemption of the trees, and a separate payment is made for the redemption of the ground, the land on which the trees sit. The Gemara. Omar Rav Huna, Hikdish Sode Maleo Ilonus. A person dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash a field full of trees. Kishu Poidon, when he comes to redeem them, Poida Ilonus Beshavion, he redeems the trees based on their market value. V'choizu Poida Karka Beizerachoy Mesorim B'chamishim Shekel Kesef. And he redeems the ground, the land, based on the fixed Torah rate that we mentioned earlier of 50 shekel per base core. And let's emphasize the main point once again, and that according to Rav Huna, the redemption of the trees is made as a separate payment and not along with the ground. Alma Kosov Rav Huna, based on this explanation, we see that Rav Huna holds Odom Makdish, Be'ayin Yofe Makdish. When a person dedicate something to the Beis HaMikdash, he does so with an ayin yofa, a gracious eye. gracious eye, with graciousness, and how that is understood in this context. We glance at Rashi, Bayan Yofe Makdish, Ilonos Levad Vekarka Levad. When he makes the dedication, he makes it with this mindset that the trees are a separate dedication from the ground. And the practical outcome of that analysis is the lo shiifta ilonos agav karka, and the result of that is that the trees do not get redeemed along with the ground, but it necessitates a separate payment, an additional payment, if you will, to the Beis Hamikdash. And that's what we mean by ayin yofeh, that at the end of the day, the Beis Hamikdash is going to be getting more money from this man. As we glance ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice a series of triangles that appear, and they appear as you scan ahead in two different directions, sometimes point facing up and sometimes point facing down. Under our Mivneh heading, we have an explanation of these triangles. With the point facing up, they represent Kushos al Rav Huna, questions, objections raised against Rav Huna, and with the point flipped around, facing downwards, they are answers, responses. So we continue now in the Gemara. Eisvei Rav Nachman l'Rav Huna. Rav Nachman raises a challenge to Rav Huna from our Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, and we can see we have a frame around this, as this is a Tanaic quote, Echod hamakdish b'cholas amachoyz, whether one sanctifies a field or dedicates a field of non-agricultural value, the echod hamakdish b'pardesois sabasti, or one dedicates high-quality vineyards. These are vineyards that are, we would say at first glance, they're planted with vines. The rate for redemption is based on the Torah rate. The Torah rate is the basis of this redemption, and it seems that the trees or the vines are redeemed along with the ground. That's a challenge to Rav Huna. Amarle, so Rav Huna answers, Re'uya lepardesos ko'amina. There's a better girsa. It's ruyos lepardesos sabasto koomar. Koomar means that the source is talking about fields that are fit to plant in them vineyards, but they are not actually planted. Esve. The challenge number two, base zera. That's a quote from the pasuk. Ein li ela base zera. Zera is a seeded field. Ste gefanim, ste konim, ste ilonos minayin. What about fields in which vines grow or reeds or other kinds of trees? Talmud lomar sode mikomakom. So this pasuk, base zera, which is a reference to the Torah rate, the fixed Torah rate of redemption, seems to be the stated rate for fields containing trees. It said here, stay ilonas, as well. And that's a problem for Rav Huna. Namely, that we see the redemption rate of the Torah includes the trees along with the field. Amar le, Rav Huna would answer, Hachinami poide v'chozer upode. This source also would instruct the person to have a separate redemption for the fields and the trees. Separate, redeem the fields and then redeem the trees. And the expression in this source that said usode mikomakom is going on the karkas, going on the different kinds of land qualities. Regardless of the land quality, there is a fixed Torah rate of redemption. However, when it comes to redeeming the trees, that must be done separately, like I, Rav Huna, teaches. Esvei, again a challenge, third challenge that's raised. You can see this is a long challenge. We have a 3 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text in a triangle with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating that all of this represents a kasha on Rav Huna. Esvei, hiktish shalosh shalosha ilonos, mimate asora lebeisa. A person dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash 3 trees with a distance between them that if 10 would be planted with a distance between them like these three, they would cover an area of a Beis Saw. That's Shalosh Ilanos Mimata Asor LeBeis Saw. He dedicated, in this case, 3 trees, but the gap between these 3 trees, if that gap would be this, would be for a total of 10 trees, they would cover such an area of a Beis Saw. Beis Saw is an area measure. Well, when one dedicates 3 trees with this given distance between them, he in effect is makdish, is dedicating the ground along with the trees and any trees between them. So he's dedicating these basic 3 trees plus the ground and any other trees between them. Kishu poide poide bezera chomesorim bechamishim shekel kesef. What do we see here? When he comes to redeem that which he sanctified, he pays a fixed Torah rate. So we see that where he was makdish trees with ground, the trees are redeemed along with the ground. Now that is a problem. Right there, we have a problem for Rav Huna, because Rav Huna said if he was makdish a field full of trees, there's a separate redemption made for the ground and for the trees. Continuing in the source, Pochos Mikain, O Yeser Alkain, if the tree distance is denser or more spread out, O Shigdishon Bozeacharzeh, or he didn't sanctify or dedicate the 3 trees at once, but rather one after the other, Hare ze lo hikdish lo es hakakavos ilonish b'neim. An individual tree dedication, even if one followed the other, but when the dedication was made, it was of an individual tree. So then we say that the ground and is not included, nor are any other trees between them included. V'lo'od elo afilu hikdish ilonoisov v'achaka hikdish kaka. Not only that, but if you have someone that dedicated trees and later on dedicated ground, kishu poide poide silonus b'shavyehen v'choizer upoide karka be'zerach ha'misorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. Then he would redeem the trees by themselves and the ground using the fixed Torah rate. We pointed out so far the problem for Rav Huna. That's where we had that dashed underlining at the first wide line. V'chi tema, you might want to say, Hocha nami poide v'chozer poide, where he had dedicated the 3 trees, and we said that includes the trees between them, maybe what that the dedication that we dashed underline really is a dedication involving a subsequent redemption of Zeh, of redeeming the field and then redeeming the trees, a double payment, which would have been in line with Rav Huna, who spoke about a separate redemption payment for trees and for ground. However, we can't offer this explanation for the ratio for the first part of this source. Why not? Ha mi de seifa poide v'chozer poide. From the fact that the seifa, the latter part of this source, where we have dot underlines, there poide v'chozer poide is featured, and that was specifically in the case where he dedicated trees separate from the ground. Michlal derei shalo. Then it implies that the early part of this source did not involve a separate redemption payment for trees and for ground, but rather a one-shot redemption for the ground, which would include the trees. And that is not like Rav Huna. So at this point, we have a Tanaic source, especially the line that was dashed underline, the first wide line of the Gemara, that represents a problem for Rav Huna. Ella, an answer. Ha, money, Rabbi Shimon, he. This source is a Shitas Yochid. It's the opinion of the Tano Rabbi Shimon, the Omar Makdish, the Ayin Ro Makdish. He is of the opinion that when one sanctifies, he sanctifies and dedicates things to the Beis HaMikdash with a limited mindset. Almost we could call it a miserly mindset. Ayin Ra is one who is not gracious, rather is the opposite. This Sanya, we have a Tanaic source in which Rabbi Shimon's name appears, and we see the concept of Ayin Ra featured here. Hamakdish is a sode, hikdish is kula. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo hikdish elo choruv hamurka v'sadon hashikma. There are two opinions in the source. What we want to focus on is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who says that this source says that one who dedicates a field, everything in the field is included in the dedication. That means all trees that are growing in the field are included in the dedication. According to Rabbi Shimon, though, if one dedicates a field, that none of the trees are included, with the exception of the Chorav HaMurkav and Sadon HaShikma. These are very large trees that they're old trees that draw a great deal of sustenance from the field. So since their sustenance is based on the field, they draw a lot of they draw a lot of nutrients from the field. So once the field is dedicated, so that dedication affects these two kind of trees, Chorav HaMurkav and Sadon HaShikma. Rashi explains the lower part of the narrow lines. Toward the end, he says, "Elachorav hamurka v'sadon hashikma shem zikeinim ugdoilim o." They're old, very large trees. V'yoinkim misudeh hektish tfei mishari lanos. They draw more nutrients from the field than others, and as a result of their drawing so much nutrient value from the field, that affects these trees, and they become kodesh as well. They become sanctified as well. So at this point, we see that Rabbi Shimon, his opinion is Makdish Ba'ayin Ro'ah, and as a result of that, when one comes to redeem, he's going to do a one-shot redemption that covers the field and the trees that are in it, along with the fixed Torah rate redemption, and not need to redeem the trees separately by a separate additional payment. That's a function of holding, like Rabbi Shimon, who holds Ba'ayin Ro'ah Makdish. The Gemara now asks a question, and this is a very long question. You can see we have a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and it's a kuf that appears with a descending vertical dashed line. And this continues down the upper part of Omid Beis as well. Point of this question is, if this source, the unnamed source, in which we dashed underline the first wide line of the Gemara, if that source is really according to Rabbi Shimon, then we will run into a problem, because information contained in the Seifa of that source doesn't seem to jive with an opinion of Rabbi Shimon stated elsewhere. And the Gemara will elaborate and express all of that. But the main point, let's just hone in on the main problem over here, that, and the Gemara will say that to set up this source as Rabbi Shimon, which would have been a defense for Rav Huna, by relegating the source that was raised as a challenge to him as the opinion of a minority opinion, that point or that answer will run into difficulty, because the source that was featured above, that began with the words Hikdish Shloshi Lanos, that source, if you want to set it up like Rabbi Shimon to defend Rav Huna, the Seifa, the latter part of it, won't jive with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Let us now see the Gemara. E Rabbi Shimon, if the long source, the Hikdish Shloshi Lana source, really is according to Rabbi Shimon, Emo Seifa. So let's now state or restate the Seifa, review the Seifa, and analyze. Veloy Oid. Now you can see we have a frame around. This is simply a quote from that source of just a few lines above. It said in that source, "V'lo oid ela afilu hikdish ilonosav ve'achaka hikdish karka." If a person dedicated just the trees and then later on decided to dedicate the ground, kishuhu poida, when he comes to redeem, poida es ilonos b'shav yehin, he'll redeem the trees at their market value. V'chozu poida be'zerah chomersorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. And a separate redemption will be made of the ground using the fixed Torah rate. Now let's just think about this for a minute. It's true that at the point of dedication, he dedicated the trees separate from the ground. At the point of redemption, though, is it not safe to say that the trees and the ground are both dedicated? They're together. They're together in the domain, in the reshus. In the Rishus, under the jurisdiction of the Beis HaMikdash, after all, he dedicated both. Even though he didn't dedicate them simultaneously, at the end of the day, when it comes to redeeming them, they are both dedicated. What is Rabbi Shimon's opinion when two things were dedicated together? So if he dedicated them together, the trees aren't treated separately. But as the Gemara will point out, Rabbi Shimon doesn't focus in general, he doesn't focus at the point of time of dedication, he focuses at point of redemption. In other words, he looks at matters according to the way things are at the end of the day, at the time, at the latter time, the time that he comes to redeem. So that even though they were dedicated in the Sefer case separately, when it comes to redemption, everything is together. They're both the trees and the ground are dedicated. And we know that Rabbi Shimon, from another source that we're about to learn, we know that Rabbi Shimon emphasizes the latter point in time, the redemption point in time. And at that point in time, they're together. And if they're together, then why would the Sefer of the unnamed source say a separate redemption is to be made of trees and of ground, when after all, at the end, at the redemption time, they're really all together? And just like we saw in the Reisha, which we felt comfortable setting up as Rabbi Shimon, we saw in the Reisha the trees are included in the redemption of the ground, the same thing should have been in the Sefer. And now the Gemara presents the sources for Rabbi Shimon's Shita that says you view things as they are at the time of redemption. Let us now read all of this in the Gemara. V'i Rabbi Shimon, Lezel Boser Pidyon. If the unnamed source is in fact like Rabbi Shimon, which would have been good for Rav Huna, then we should go according to the time of redemption, the lifriku agav arayu, and the trees should have been redeemed along with the ground. The hashamino lay the Rabbi Shimon the also baser pidyon, for we have heard Rabbi Shimon to hold that you go according to the time of redemption, and at the time of redemption, the trees are sanctified along with the ground. So Rabbi Shimon should have then applied his strict, his limited redemption rate of the Torah, fixed Torah rate, and not a separate redemption of the trees. And yet the source said there is a separate redemption of the trees. And now the Gemara goes on to give us all of the background. Truth be told, the main point has been raised already, that we see that Rabbi Shimon goes Boser Pidyon. From here till the end of the long question is in effect a simple background for that. So we can skip for a moment and just say that after the long question ends, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok will tell us that Rabbi Shimon really does not go Boser Pidyon. And as far as the source that we're going to learn, there is a different reason for this, for the information contained in the source and Shitas Rabbi Shimon. But as far as the main structure is concerned, the question on Rav Huna is based on a concept saying that Rabbi Shimon goes Boser Pidyon. And the defense of Rav Huna ultimately is going to be that that's not true, that Rabbi Shimon does not go Boser Pidyon, and therefore we can understand, or we can say, we can defend Rav Huna by saying that the source above in fact is Rabbi Shimon. And as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, he really emphasizes the original dedication point in time, and not the Shas Pidyon. So now, as we said, the following section of Gemara is essentially background to develop this idea that Rabbi Shimon, we think, holds you go Boser Pidyon. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have on the outside margin a Tatnose Mivneh heading. Tatnose means a subtopic, and Mivneh the structural note. In this source, diamonds will be used, highlighting the word Minayin. From where do we know? And we continue in our note, Shnei Deos, there will be two opinions, Bedroshas HaPosuk Im Este Miknosa V'chulei. The Gemara will quote this Posuk. Be'inyan, this pasuk is connected with the topic of Hakine Sode Mi'aviv, someone who buys a field from his father. And there are two possibilities. One is Umeis Aviv, his father dies, Vehigdisha, and then after the father dies, the son is Makdish the field. Now, at the time that the son bought the field from his father, the father was alive. As far as the father is concerned, while it was in his possession, it's called a stay achuza. It's the man simply inherited from his forebears. If his son comes along and buys it from father, as far as the son is concerned, he didn't inherit it. It's a purchase field, and that's called a stay mikne. He then dedicates it after his father dies. So what in effect is he dedicating? Well, since his father died first, it now becomes a stay achuza with regard to the son. So the son can be said to have dedicated something that actually is a stay achuza. True, when he bought it, it wasn't. But his father died, and then he decided to makdish it. With regard to approaches to redemption from hekdish, we saw in the Mishnah. Other than, besides the Shita of Rebbe Lozar, the Tanakhama says there's a different standard that applies to redeeming an inheritance field versus a purchase field. There's another case, Higdisha Umeis Aviv, where a son bought a field from his father, dedicated it while the father was still alive, and then the father died. Now, at the point of dedication, the field was a stay mikneh. While in the possession of the Beis HaMikdash, the father died. The issue is, how do we view that case with regard to redemption rate? Do we go according to market rate or according to the fixed Torah rate? Fixed Torah rate of redemption, according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, fixed Torah rate is characteristic of a stay achuza. Market value rate is characteristic of redemption of a stay mikne. Now, the Gemara. The Sanya. Uminayin lelokeach sodemi aviv vehigdisha vachakach meis aviv. From where do we know a person who bought a field from his father? He dedicated it. Now, he dedicated it while the father was still alive. And then the father died. Minayin shetei lefonov kistei achuza. How do we know to consider this like a stay achuza? That means that even though when he dedicated it, it was really a stay mikneh because the father was still alive, yet when it comes to redemption, this source is telling us that it's redeemed using the fixed Torah rate and not market value. So where do we know this from, that we treat this case as if it were a stay achuza being redeemed? Talmud lomar im este miknoso asher lo miste achuzasai. And this pasuk, which the Torah presents referring to the case of the stay mikneh, a mikneh which is not a stay achuza, Sodeh she'eino ru'uya li'o stei achuza. When is something called a stei mikneh? When it doesn't have the potential of being a stei achuza. Yosis azu, to the exclusion of the case we featured, she'ru'uya li'os stei achuza. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Shimon. The case of the son buying a field from his father, that field had the potential of being a stei achuza. Of course, if the father dies, it becomes a stei achuza. So what did the son dedicate? He dedicated a field that had the potential of being a stei achuza. That's enough to classify it as a stei achuza, and as a result of that, when it comes to redemption, he will redeem it based on the fixed Torah rate and not market value. Now, another opinion, Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir takes this pasuk and comes and uses it for a different conclusion. He says, Minayin lelokeach sode me'aviv, umeis aviv, v'acha kachikdisha. Minayin shtei lefonav kistei achuza. Rabbi Meir presents a case. I would like to call it a simpler case. It's a case where it's more obvious a stei achuza. Here, a son bought a field from his father. The father died while the son was still holding on to the field. At the point the father died, it becomes a stei achuza. It's literally an inheritance field. V'achar kach hikdisha. And only then did he dedicate it to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, at the point that he dedicated, it already was a stei achuza. Minayin shtei lefonav kistei achuza. From where do I know that it will be treated, as far as redemption is concerned, as a stei achuza? Talmud Lomar, and he quotes the same pasuk, im es stei miknoso asher lo mistei achuzoso. And he takes it to mean, when is something called a stei mikneh, which would be treated with a market value redemption rate? That's a sode sheino sode achuza, a field that is not a stei achuza. Yosazu she stei achuza, to the exclusion of this case, where that which was dedicated was already a stei achuza. Ve'ilu l'Rabbi Yehuda l'Rabbi Shimon, afilu hikdisha v'achar kach meis aviv equals stei achuza havya. They go further. They expand the idea of stei achuza to a case where the son sanctified the field when the father was still alive. So it didn't gain a label of inheritance field at the point of dedication, but nevertheless, since the father eventually dies, when the son comes to redeem it at a point in time that the father is already dead, it is considered a stei achuza. The question here is, what is the basis of their opinion? Imishum kra, if it's because of the pasuk that they quoted in the source, don't forget that same pasuk was used by Rabbi Meir. And kra lech Rabbi Meir hu da'asa. The pasuk is more easily understood according to Rabbi Meir's approach. As we said, Rabbi Meir represents a more obvious situation, and hence the pasuk, you can't stretch the pasuk if you have a choice of taking the pasuk on a face value or a simple level, or trying to expand the pasuk to include more novel cases. We limit the pasuk to the simple, to the straightforward case, and Rabbi Meir's use of the pasuk represents that approach, where a son bought a field from his father, and first the father died, and only then did he dedicate it. There it's obvious that he was dedicating a stei achuza. But as far as the case that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon were referring to, they went further, and hence the Gemara wants to know right now, what is the source for their point of view? Their point of view, which stated that a field that a son purchased and dedicated while the father was still alive is nevertheless called a stei achuza. Where do they get that from? Elolav, the Gemara answers, Mishum de Ozil Boser Pinyon. It's because they go, that's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. We should emphasize, and we emphasize Rabbi Shimon because he's the focus of our attention right now. How is it that he classifies that case, the case where the dedicated field took place while the father was still alive, how is it that he calls it a stei achuza? It is rather because he goes the Ozil Boser Pidyon at the time of redemption, the father is in fact dead. So at the time of redemption, we can say that the son experiences the time of the father's death, even though the field is not in the son's possession, nevertheless, the stay ahuza label can be attached, because once again we emphasize the point in time of redemption, and at that point in time the father has already passed away. So what do we see from all of this? We see that Reb Shimon's approach to the issue of redemption is you look at things as they are at the time of redemption. And if that be the case, if you go back to the source that was brought on Omer Aleph as a challenge to Rav Huna, and we try to say, well, in defense of Rav Huna, that source was according to Rabbi Shimon, when you look at the seifa of that source, you see someone who had dedicated trees separately from fields, but eventually both were dedicated, and at the time of redemption both are, the trees and the fields are both together dedicated. So wouldn't it make sense, according to Rabbi Shimon, that the redemption rate should be the fixed Torah value, which would include the trees, because at that point in time trees and field are both dedicated. And we already saw the ratio that when someone dedicated trees and fields, the one rate covers both. So wouldn't it have made sense that in the Seifa, if we're emphasizing Shas Pidyon, one rate should have covered both? The Gemara now answers, in defense of Rav Huna, Amar Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Shimon, who were dealing with the case of the son that purchased the field from the father, Kro Ashkechu V'dorosh, they looked into the Pasuk and found a drosha, a scriptural reference to their point of view in the Pasuk, and Reb Shimon is not an opinion that goes Basur Pidyon. He doesn't emphasize Shas Pidyon. So that derails the question. This poses an answer. Therefore, the source on Omer Aleph that was raised as a challenge to Rav Huna, we can say it in fact is according to Rabbi Shimon a lone opinion, and therefore it doesn't represent a challenge to Rav Huna. Now, as far as Rabbi Shimon's approach to the case of the son who bought a field from his father, why is it there that he seems to look at things as the way they are at the time of Pidyon? It's not because that's his thesis, but rather it's based on his conclusion there regarding the son buying field from father is based on a pasuk. And let's try to say it in a simpler fashion. Rabbi Shimon, who has an expanded approach to what is included under the title of Stei Ahuza, he bases it on a scriptural reference. And that's what we're going to see now. We said, Kro Ashkechu V'dorash. Rabbi Yudin, Rabbi Shimon found a basis for their opinion in the Pasuk. Im Kain means if the Pasuk was to teach only according to Rabbi Meir, in other words, to include only Rabbi Meir's case, which we called before the simpler case, the case of the son who bought from father and then father died before any dedication was made, and that's called a Stei Ahuza. If you were to think that only that is called a Stei Ahuza, Lichtoiv Rachmono im es Stei Miknoso Asher Loi Ahuzoso, the pasuk could have been written in that form. My mi stay. The Torah, in effect, writes mi stay achuzaso. Not just asher lo achuzaso, but asher lo mi stay achuzaso. So the word mi stay is an extra word. And from this they derive sode she'eno ru'uya lios stay achuzo. When is something called a stay mikne? If it's a field that doesn't have the potential of being a stay ahuza. The Shita Mekubetzes adds just a few words, Yotzezu, to the exclusion of this field where the son bought, the field that the son bought from his father, Shireuyo Leo Stay Ahuza. And since it always had the potential of being an inheritance field, it has that label. And therefore, even if at the point of dedication the father was still alive, what was being dedicated, a field that a son bought from his father, that field had the potential of being a stei achuza, and hence it's treated with the Torah rate of redemption. The main point that we should realize now, though, as we look over the entire Gemara, that Rav Huna, who said a person who dedicates a field full of trees, when he wants to redeem it, he redeems the fields and the field separate from the trees, that opinion stands and is not challenged. Let's say that Rav Huna stood up against all of the challenges of the Gemara. As we look on in the Gemara, before we learn the Gemara, we want to glance at the outside margin where we have a Nosei Mivne heading. You'll notice that we have a triangle featured with a colored in tip. This is to distinguish it from triangles that we had used before in our sugya involving Rav Huna. We have written on the side, Hikdish, where a person dedicates. Roman numeral number 1 will deal with Troshim. Troshim are as rocky soil. And Roman numeral 2, he was Makdish, Ilonos. Ilonos are trees. Be'ezo tarif poi din oison. When one wants to redeem those, what rate is used? Is he going to use the fixed Torah rate, or is he going to use market value rate? A double underline will be used throughout this sugya to highlight the expression lo galon, where a person doesn't redeem that which had been dedicated. Ma dinom kishemagia yovel legabi yitzir lekehanim. What is the din with regard to these properties, these different quality properties or items that were dedicated, with regard to the halacha of distribution amongst kohanim upon the arrival of the yovel year? We should say maybe a word of introduction that when you're dealing with a straightforward case of proper agricultural land that was dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash, in the event that the owner does not redeem it by the time the next Yovel, the next 50th year arrives, the halacha is that if it's in the possession of the Beis HaMikdash upon the arrival of the Yovel year, That property that wasn't redeemed is then distributed amongst the Kohanim that are serving in the Beis HaMikdash at that point in time. That's as far as regular stei achuza dedications are concerned. Once again, if they're not redeemed, then they're distributed amongst the Kohanim. What about these types of dedications? The cases of Troshin, the Ilonos, etc., as the Gemara will expound upon that. In contrast with the case of Hikdish, the Gemara will also speak about Mochar, where a person sells Troshim or Ilonos, rocky fields, or trees. The question here with regard to Mecher, with regard to sales, Dinam Legabi Knia Chazora Shel Habaylim Toich Shnei Shonim. Now, a word of introduction is necessary to appreciate this. In the case of a standard field that is sold to someone, and we're not dealing now with dedications to the Beis HaMikdash, but a straightforward sale, the Torah says that you, the owner, the one who sold the field, cannot force a buyback from the purchaser within a period of 2 years. That is, once again, there's a minimum amount of time that the land that was sold remains in the hands of the purchaser, and the seller cannot insist on it, on buying it back from him. That is the case with regard to sales, so that within 2 years, an owner must understand that the sale holds. After 2 years, then the owner can offer money and insist on having his field returned by buying it back from the buyer. But within 2 years, he cannot do that. What we will be investigating is the case of a mechira of troshim and ilonos. What is the din with regard to that two-year requirement? Let us now turn to the Gemara. Omar of Papa, Hiktish Troshin, a person dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash rocky soil. Poidon Bishavyon. That rocky soil is redeemed according to market value and not according to the Torah, the fixed Torah rate of land redemptions, which was 50 shekel per base kor. Even though this rocky soil is a ground or real estate that one inherited, that we can call it achuza. Achuza is a word for referring to inheritance. My taima, why is it that when a person's makdish this rocky land, does the Torah rate not apply? Answer: Bezera Omer Achmona Vahani Lav Bnei Zriya Ninu. The Torah makes reference to a field that could be seeded, a seeded field. That's Bezera, field that's fit for seeding, and this is not fit for seeding. And therefore, the Torah, the fixed Torah rate of redemption, doesn't apply. Loi goalon. Let us say that the owner, the one who dedicated, did not redeem it. Yoitzin lekohanim. It will be distributed amongst the kohanim. Now Rashi adds over here, in the case of Lo Goala, if he didn't redeem it, the owner didn't redeem it, and the Gizbar had sold, the Gizbar is the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash, in the meantime had sold it to others. So Yoitzin LeKehana BeYovel, when the Yovel year arrives, that field that is currently held by some purchaser automatically is distributed amongst the Kohanim. My taima, why does the rule of distribution amongst Kohanim apply? Sode Omar Rachmona, Sode Koldehu. The Torah uses the expression Sode in the context of that which is distributed during the Yovel year, whatever the quality is. So that as far as redemption rate, that needs to be a base zera. It must be, in order to enjoy the fixed Torah rate of redemption, it has to be a plantable field. However, with regard to the law of distribution amongst Kohanim, in the event that it wasn't redeemed by the original owner, then whatever kind of field it is, because the Torah doesn't use the term zera in this context. Mochar Troshim. Let's say a person owned a rocky field, and he sold it to someone. Nigolin pochos mishte shanim. The owner can buy it back within 2 years. And as we said, even though in general a field of an agriculturally fit field that's sold, an owner cannot force a buyback within 2 years. In this case, he can. My taima. Why is that? Mispar shnei tvus omer rachmona. The law that says you cannot buy back within 2 years refers in the pasuk, the term tvuos appears, which is a reference to produce, to grains that grow. Vehani lav b'nei tvuaninu, and these, the rock field, doesn't have this characteristic. So once again, the halacha of 2 years, that it must remain in the possession of a purchaser for 2 years, that only applies to fields that are fit for producing tvua, producing yielding produce. This, since it is not fit for yielding produce, doesn't have that 2 year restriction. Lo goalon, let us say that the owner did not buy it back, the fellow who sold the trushin, and it remained until the yovel in the hands of the purchaser, choseres lebailim biyovel. Then the standard rule of return to original owners applies, and it goes back to the original owner during the yovel year. Mai taimo, vishav lachuzoso omarachmono, The Torah says that original owners are reinstated with their fields on the Yovel year. V'hainami achuzahi. This is also classified as achuza, a real estate that was inherited. Up till now, then, we were dealing with our Roman numeral number 1, which featured trushim. Here, Roman numeral number 2 deals with trees. And the same type of analysis that we did under Roman numeral number 1, we will do with Roman numeral number 2. And you can see with the markings, if you study the markings, you can see the similar structure that this section has, as we saw under Roman numeral number 1. Hikdish ilanos. If a person was makdish trees, poide v'shavyon, b'shavyehen, he redeems the trees at their market value. My time. Why is it? Why is it market value and not the Torah, the fixed Torah rate? My time. Beis zera omar rachmona veloy ilonois. The Torah makes reference to a beis zera, a seeded field, not trees, not isolated trees. Trees are not called a beis zera. Loi goalon, let's say the original owner did not redeem the trees. Ein yoitzin lekehanim. Now here you can see there's a difference between the case of trees and the above case of trushim. And that's why we dashed underlined the word ein. But with regard to the trees, ein yoitzin lekehanim be over. They're not distributed amongst the kehanim when the Yovel arrives. Why? V'hoya hasode omar rachmona. The Torah speaks about a field, v'lo ilonos, not trees. Trees are not distributed amongst the Kohanim. Mochar ilonos, if a person sold trees, ein nigolin pochos mishtei shanim. Here, again, this is different than the case above. This is just the opposite. Here we say ein nigolin, they're not able to be bought back from the purchaser within 2 years. In other words, one who purchases trees from his friend, the owner, the purchaser, has a right to keep the trees for the 2 years. My taimo, shnei tevuos om rachmono, the posuk makes reference to the years of tevua, v'hani b'nei tevuos ninu. Trees produce fruits. They produce tvua. Tvua is a term that means produce. Lo goalon. Let us say the owner did not buy back the trees. Ein choizeres lebailim biyovel. And this too is different than the case of the trushim. It does not go back to the owner when the yovel arrives. My taimo. Why is it that the trees don't go back to the original owner? V'shav l'achuzaso amar achmona v'loy ilonos. The Torah says that an achuza goes back. An achuza is a reference to a piece of land that one inherited. So inheritance, land goes back, but not trees. Omar mar, hikdish ilonos poide b'shavyon. We have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text in which you can see where this quote is coming from. Just align it with the arrow a few lines up, and you'll see it's talking about that case that we learned, someone who dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash trees. The redemption rate is based on market value. The Gemara asks, Amai, why is it based on market value? V'liktishu agav arayu, v'lifrikua agav arayu, v'lehedru lebailim agav arayu. After all, trees grow on ground. When it comes to ground, we know that when one redeems the ground, he uses the fixed Torah rate. So why is it that the trees that were dedicated aren't redeemed along with the ground under them, which he's using a Torah rate for? And in the case of a sale to a person, to a fellow man, why don't the trees go back together with the ground under them when the yovel arrives? The chitema, you might argue, ilonos akdish aro lo akdish. You might say that, well, he dedicated trees, he didn't dedicate land. And the halachas of the fixed Torah rate of redemption and return to owner at Yovel. Those are ground or land rules, not tree rules. And you might argue that here he dedicated Ilanos, he didn't dedicate the land. Ah, but how can you say that? V'amri Nardoi. But Nardoi has been known to say, Man de mizven le dikla lechavre, one who sells a tree, a dikla, a palm, or a tree, to his friend, koni le mishipula viatoma. He gets the tree, including the bottom, down to the very depths. That means he gets the land along with it. So we see that the acquisition of a tree or it includes the ground under it. The Gemara responds, "Lav mi itmar Allah." Was it not said concerning what Nahardoi says? Omar Rava bevo machmas taina. Only if at the time of the tree transaction was ground mentioned. Now, if ground wasn't mentioned at the time of the transaction, then the ground is not included, and therefore the above rules that we learned will apply. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, and before we go on in the Gemara, we glance at the outside margin of our Nosei heading, Machloikas Tanoim. We'll see a Tanaic controversy, Bevo Livdois Mehekdish Stei Mikne. Someone who comes to redeem from the Beis HaMikdash a purchase field that he dedicated. Be'ez tarif yivde. What rate does he use to redeem a stay mikne from the Beis HaMikdash? The Chomim say lefi shavyo, according to market value. The Rav Elazar says bedover kotsuv, using the fixed Torah rate, zera chumim sorim b'shchamishim shekel kesef. We turn to the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, b'michsas. Now this is a posuk that's quoted from Vayikra, Perek Chav Zayin, Posik Chav Gimel, in which it says, V'chishav lo akoin es michsas o erkecho ad shnas hayovel. And in Posik Chav Beis, the Torah made reference to a stay mikne. So we know we're talking in this Posik Chav Gimel about a stay mikne. And it says, B'michsas. Now it's mashma, that word is mashma, it's market value. Ma Talmud Lomar, what does B'michsas come to tell me? Lefi Shenemar, because it says with regard to the redemption of a stay achuza, it says Zera Choymer Sorim B'chamishim Shekel Kesef. That's with regard to the redemption of an inheritance field. Yochol Af Stei Mikne Kein, should you apply the same rate regarding the redemption of a stay mikne? Talmud lomar michsas. Hence the word michsas comes to distinguish between a stay achuza, which is redeemed based on a fixed Torah rate, versus the stay mikne, which is based on michsas, meaning market value. Rabbi Lezer Omer, ne'emar kan, it says by stay mikne v'chishav, v'ne'emar lahalon, it says by a stay achuza v'chishav, so we have a gezer shava word comparison, ma lahalon dover kotzum, just like by stay achuza, it's the fixed Torah rate of chamishim kesef, per base kur, af kan dover kotzum, so too, by the stay mikne, it's dover kotzum, a fixed rate, the fixed Torah rate. So Rabbi Lezer uses a Gzeirah Shavah to come to this conclusion of rate of redemption. Ibayaloh, the Gemara asks, Rabbonon islehu Gzeirah Shavah umafkin leilachoymesh. Do the Rabbonon have a tradition of this Gzeirah Shavah using the word v'chishav, comparing the stay achuza to the stay mikne, and the result of their use would be that when one wants to redeem a stay mikne from the Beis HaMikdash, he would add a fifth, just like one would do when he redeems a stay achuza, or it could be less lehu gzeira shava, but less lehu chomesh. The Rabbanan don't have this word comparison tradition, and therefore there would be no adding of a chomesh, of a fifth, to with regard to the redemption of a stay mikneh.
Om
Amar Rava, Mistabra Les Lehu Gzera Shava. Rava says they probably don't have a word comparison. Why not? Midagoli Rachmona Choymesh Gabi Steahuza Vagabi Makdish Besoi. The Torah does mention adding a fifth with regard to the redemption of an inheritance field and with regard to one who redeems a house that he dedicated. So we see the concept of Chomesh in two areas of the Torah. Havale Shnei Ksuvim Aboyim Ke'echod. That would then tell us that the case of adding a Chomesh is are two cases where the Torah teaches Chomesh in two cases, and they come together, meaning V'chol Shnei Ksuvim Aboyim Ke'echod, two cases that teach me the same thing. Ein melamden. We don't learn from those to other cases. In other words, if the Torah wants something to serve as a precedent for other cases, so it would be sufficient for the Torah to teach the law in one case and then say, let us learn other cases from it. If the Torah goes out of its way to teach the same thing twice, what the Torah in effect is saying, I want you to know this applies here and nowhere else. That's called Shnei Ksuvim Haboyim Ke'echad. However, there's another opinion regarding this rule. Ulamand Omar Malamdin, according to the approach that says Shnei Ksuvim Boim Ke'echod can teach, can serve as a precedent for other cases. Nevertheless, here, with regard to adding a fifth by the redemption of a stay mikneh, we will not learn from the other cases. Why not? Midagoli Rachmona Choymesh, Bemeiser, Bevehema Tehoira, Bevehema Temea. There are numerous other cases where we see the need to add a fifth. Three other cases. Hava le tuva. That comes out. There are many other cases. The Ein Melamdin. If we were to think that something is going to serve as a precedent, it wouldn't be necessary to teach the same halacha again and again and again and again. Therefore, if the Torah mentions it so many times, the word tuva means many times, what the Torah in effect is saying that the din of Chomesh will apply to these cases where it's specified and not to any other case. Tanya kavosei derava. V'lo mita'amei. We have a brisa supporting Rava, namely that there is no Chomesh with regard to the redemption. There's no adding of a fifth regarding of the redemption of a stay mikneh. However, for a different reason. Rava's reason was, since this Chomesh is stated in so many other cases, it applies there and nowhere else. According to the brisa, there's a different reason. Disanya. Now, here the Shita Mekubetzes in Ois Chof adds a number of words to the text. So in Ois Chof, if you see the lower part of the page, Desanya b'michsas, ein michsas el adomim. The word michsas means money or value. V'cheinu omer v'harimoisem meches l'ashem. That pasuk indicates meches is an issue of money or value. Yachol Yosef Choymesh. Could it be that in the redemption of a stay mikneh that he adds a fifth? Talmud Lomar, Michsas Ho'er Kicha. Now we continue in the source that we have in our text. Hekishu HaKosuv Le'erichin. The Torah compares the case of the stay mikneh to the case of Erichin, where a Torah value dedication of a person was made. Ma erichin ein moisiv chomesh. Just like when the erichin payment is made, there's no additional fifth. Af stei mikne ein moisiv chomesh. So too with regard to the payment made to the Beis Hamikdash in redeeming a stei mikne, no fifth is added. So according to the brisa, the non fifth requirement with regard to a stei mikne is learned from a hekish between erichin and the topic of stay mikneh. Rava learned the non-chomesh from the fact that you had many different psukim that specified when chomesh is paid, and that was not specified in the case of stay mikneh, hence it came out to be a case of many ksuvim haboyim kechon and ein melamdin. The Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, let us glance at the outside margin where we have a nosei, a topic heading. We have written Shor Hamuad. This is a known as a goring ox. This is an ox that has gored three times, and thereby leaves the category of Shor Tam and becomes a Shor Hamuad. We know a distinction with regard to these two, with regard to full payment for damages versus half payment for damages. A Shor Tam pays what's known as Chatzi Nezek when it injures another animal, and in the case of a Shor Hamuad, it would pay full damages when it damages another animal. Now, there are other distinctions as well between Shor Hamuad and Shor Tam, and we'll refer to them as we go along in the Gemara. However, under our topic heading, we've listed Shor Hamuad, we have Shehemis, that kills either an Eved, a slave, or a Ben Chorin, a full-fledged Jew. Number two, Roman numeral number two, Shehizik, a Shor Hamuad that injures Bain Eved, Bain Ben Chorin, whether he injures an Eved, a slave, or a free man. Looking at the Mishnah, B'Shor Hamuad, Shehemis is so Eved. With regard to a Shor Hamuad that kills a slave, we see Lahokel Ulahachmir. Once again, like we've seen in the previous Mishnayos, there are two extremes. You have an extreme leniency and extreme stringency. Ketzad, how is this to be understood? Echod Shehemis is Hanoe Sheba Avodim, Ves Hakiur Sheba Avodim, Noisein Shloishim Sela. A Shor Hamuad, whether it kills a beautiful slave or an ugly slave, the same rate is paid. In other words, there's a standard rate of shloishim sela. That's an amount. A sela is a type of coin. 30 sela coins are paid for the Shor Hamuad's killing of a slave. So if he happens to be an Eved, that's a no'esh b'avodim, a pleasant, a wonderful slave worth a lot of money, this would be a leniency. If he happens to be a disgusting, undesirable type slave, this would represent a stringency, a lot of money. That's what we mean by lohokil lahachmir. Up till now, we've discussed a Shor Hamuad that kills a slave. Now, Hamis ben Chorin, if he kills a free man, a full-fledged Jew, no sein shavyo, then a market value rate applies. Choval bozeh ubozeh, as opposed to killing, here we talk about the injury of a slave or of a ben chorin. Noisein nezek shalem, the Shor Hamuad has to pay full damages. In looking at the seifa of this Mishnah, we seem to say that a full damage payment is made when it comes to damages only with regard to a Shor Hamuad. That was the topic of the Mishnah. So this leaves room to infer the following. Bemuad in betam lo. A muad, as we mentioned earlier, was a goring ox. Then we see the full payment made for damages. If it were a tam is a non-established goring. It's not yet established as a goring ox. So then you wouldn't have a nezek sholem payment made, a full damage payment made. Lemo masnisen delo Rabbi Akiva. Well, if this inference is correct, it would turn out that our Mishnah then would not work out to be like Rabbi Akiva. Disnan, Rabbi Akiva Omer, af tam shechoval ba'odam, mishalem b'moisar nezek sholem. According to Rabbi Akiva, even a non-goring ox, if he injured a person, he pays full damages. The term mosar means the balance. In other words, if in the case of hurting a person, the person also hurt the ox, assuming that the value of damage to the animal was less than the value of the damage to the person, you simply subtract that difference, and the balance of full payment is made. So stated simply, according to Rabbi Akiva, for chavola, for damages, a Shor Tam, when it comes to damaging a person as opposed to damaging another ox, the din of Shor Tam doesn't apply, and rather he pays full damage. Our Mishnah, though, seemed to say that only by a Muad is full payment made when it comes to damage rendered unto a person. So is it so then that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva? The Gemara responds, Afilu Teimo Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah can conform to Rabbi Akiva as well. Hu Adinda Filu Tam Nami. As far as the chiyuv by injury of Nezek Shalem applies to a Tam also. The Aidi de Kaboy the Mishnah Seifa, since the Mishnah wanted to teach in the end of the first part of the Mishnah, Hamis Eved, Hamis Ben Chorin, there the Mishnah was speaking about the killing of an Eved and the killing of a Ben Chorin, the Memuad Hu de Mishkachas Lo Betam Lo Mishkachas Lo, the whole concept of payment made for the killing of an Eved is something that applies only to Shor HaMuad. Mishum Hochi, because of the dinim of killing of a person, which as we said, payment is made only when a Shor HaMuad kills an Eved, kills a Ben Chorin. If a Shor Tam did the killing, there would be no payment made. Therefore, Mishum Hochi Kotoni Muad, therefore the Mishnah featured the case of Muad, but not to the exclusion of a Tam when it comes to injury instilled on a person or a slave. With regard to injury, there really is no distinction between Tam and Muad as far as our Mishnah is concerned. With regard to the killing of a person, then there is room to make a distinction between Tam and Muad. And that's why the Mishnah featured the case of Muad, because only in the case of Muad would payment be made when it commits an act of killing of a person. A Shor Tam does not result in a payment when it comes to the killing of a person. The Pasuk says, Ubal HaShor Noki, that means that he's Noki from the Demei Eved, and he's Noki from the payment of Kofar. Kofar is the payment made when a Ben Chorin is killed. The Mishnah, Ba'oinis U'mefate L'Hokel U'Lahachmir. With regard to rape and seduction, there also you have this phenomenon of leniency and stringency. Ketzad, echad shona supita es gedolei shebekuhuna ves haktana shebiyisrael. Whether these acts of immorality were conducted with a very important woman from the priestly class, from this kahuna, or insignificant woman from the common class, will say the same payment is made. Noisein chamishim sloyim. So that in the case of the fine for rape of a gedol shebekuna, this would be a low amount. This would be a kula. With regard to the ktana shebiyisrael, this would represent a chuma, be a lot of money, relatively speaking. However, there are more payments that are made in the case of when rape or seduction takes place. There is the money that the Torah mentions for Oinis and Mefat is called Chamishim Shekel, 50 shekel, 50 pieces of silver. So shekel is a type of coin. 50 of them are paid for the case of Oinis and Mefate. But that covers only the act, that's the fine for that act. However, in addition, vaboishes vabagam, there is the aboishes represents the embarrassment that the woman experiences. Pagam represents the depreciation that she now has experienced. That is prorated. That's hakolafi hamavayesh vahamisvayesh. Those are payments that are made according to the individual in question, not a fixed rate. However, the fine aspect with regard to Oynes and Mefata, that is a fixed rate. So there's the fine payment, and then there are these other monetary payments. The fine payment is a fixed rate, that's for Oynes and Mefata, and for the additional trauma that she experiences, if the boishes and gam, the embarrassment and the depreciation, that is according to the people, the specific people involved. The Gemara asks, Amai, why do you say that there's a separate payment Emo chamishim sloim omar rachmana mikomili. Maybe the 50 that the Torah accounts for in the case of oyunism and mefate is an all-inclusive payment, that it includes also the boshes and pegam. As you can see, we have a trapezoid or volcano form that appears now in the Gemara. And as you skim ahead, you'll notice that the position of this changes as we go go on in the text. This is featured on the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading, where we have a volcano shape, and we call this Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. Nisyonos, these are attempts, La'anos al Hasheila, attempts to answer the question, Minayin shetashlum achamishim kesef aloinus eino koivil tatashlum avor boishes and pegam. From where do we know that the 50 that's paid in the case of oines and mefate doesn't cover from where do we know that it's a separate payment that doesn't cover the boishes and pegam aspects? So these are attempted answers. When this form flips over, those are dechios, those are rejections. So the Gemara attempts to answer this question. Omar Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira answers with a type of logic, and here the intonation is important when you read the Gemara. Yomru, if it were a payment, the 50 were a payment that covers all payments on all kinds of women, then Yomru, people will say, Bo'al bas melochim chamishim, Bo'al bas hedyotos chamishim. Could it be that there would be no distinction made between someone who, let's say, rapes a princess versus one who rapes a commoner? Logic would say that, of course, there should be a difference. The difference should be manifest in the payment. Now, if you say that the chamishim covers all aspects for all women, there would be no distinction. Omar le Abaye. Abaye responds, questioning the logic. If the phenomenon of lack of distinction really bothers you, and that gives rise for concluding that boishes and pegam are not included, then ihochi gabi eved nami yomru. When it comes to a shorhamud killing an eved, yomru people would say, Eved no kev margolish shloshim, Eved oise masa machat shloshim, and yet that really is the case. Let us say you have an Eved that the Gemara says is a noikev margolis, be something like a diamond cutter, which is considered a very valuable skill. If you like, you can say an Eved that is any type of high income individual, that he just happens to be a slave, but professionally he's highly trained. And an Eved Oysa Maisa Machat literally is someone who does quilting, needlework, which is considered a low income profession. Should there not be a distinction between the murder, the killing of these two kinds of avodim? And yet the Torah makes no distinction. It's one rate. It's shloshim shekel. So we see that the fact that you have different kinds of people and yet they're treated with one rate, that doesn't stop the Torah from imposing a singular rate to cover all. So maybe the 50 that's paid for Oinus and Mefata does cover Boshes and Pegam, leaving us with no room to make distinctions, because there is no need to make distinctions, as we see in the case of the Eved that's killed. So the question comes back, how do we know that the case of the payment of the Chamishim doesn't cover Boshes and Pegam as well? Elo Omar Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira answers, how do I know that the 50 doesn't cover everything? So he answers with the next few lines of Gemara. However, we have to speak out, we have to offer some introduction, and what we'll do is we'll read the note that we have on the side of the Gemara where we have a star. And this is essentially is the answer that will be provided in the Gemara, but the Gemara itself is rather terse. His response will be as follows. Im tashlum hachamishim koilel gam boishes u'pegam. If it were so that the 50 covers the payments needed for embarrassment and depreciation as well, Yotze, the following will result. Dehabo al isha kedarka acharei shikvar niva lo shelo kedarka. There is a situation where a woman was let's say the participated or was raped in the shelo kedarka fashion, and then following that they bawl el kedarka, that's in the regular fashion. There are different orifices in the female anatomy, and shelo kedarka is an entrance copulation via the unusual orifice with regard to this matter. So if you would have a woman that was nivalo shelo kedarka, and then afterwards she was nivalo kedarka, a case like that generates a knas payment. In other words, a rape payment, the oinus payment, is made in such a case where she already had been exposed to a previous, we'll call it unfortunate event, where bo'al el shelo kedarka, and subsequent to that, she was raped kedarka. There is a payment made. There's a knas payment made. V'hi hanikres paguma. She's called paguma. That means the she's a woman that already had participated already in a form of immorality, if you will. However, if she's after that subsequent, she's raped in a kedarka fashion, the rapist has to pay the knas, the fine. V'habo al isha she'af pam lo nivalo ha'tashlum zeheh. A person who raped a woman who never had participated in any act of sexuality, it would come out, would have the same payment. According to the Gemara, it just doesn't seem reasonable. It doesn't seem reasonable that a woman who had once been participant in a bia, in copulation, in a shelo kedarka fashion, when she eventually is raped in a kedarka fashion, that the same payment to her should be made as a payment to a girl, to a woman who was never attacked. One can easily imagine that a woman who was once participant in a bia shelo kedarka, the level of shock, if you will, or of trauma would be less than the case of a woman who was never attacked. But if you're going to say that the 50 covers all kinds of payments, including the boshes of megam, so there would be no distinction. So now we'll read this in the words of the Gemara. Ilu bo aleha shnayim. If you have a woman that had been attacked twice, echad shelo kedarka, first in a low kedarka fashion, the echad kedarka, and subsequently in a kedarka, in the normal fashion, but it was a rape, we know that there is a knas payment made in that case. Yomru, people will say that if the 50 covers boshes of megam as well, boal paguma chamishim, boal shlemo chamishim, could it be that if a paguma is raped, the 50 is paid just like in the case of a non-paguma shlemo, a woman who was never attacked also, the same 50 is to be paid? Is it not so that the level of embarrassment and trauma and depreciation that the never previous experienced woman would have is greater than that the woman who was paguma experiences now? So we, based on this logic, it should be clear that the chamishim does not cover all the payments. Omar le Abaye. Abaye responds, "I hochi, if this is your basis for making concluding that the chamishim doesn't cover everything, gabi eved nami yomru." Well, with regard to the killing of an eved, people should be able to argue, "Eved bori shloshim, eved mukeshchin shloshim." Could it be that an eved who's healthy that's killed, 30 is paid, and the same amount, the same 30 is paid for an Eved who is a sickly Eved, a Mukeshchin? And that really is the halacha, that no distinction is made. So just like in the case of avodim, we make no distinction, it could very well be. In the case of the two different types of women we described above, no distinction is made. And the 50 will cover everything, leaving no other means of making a distinction. Elo Omar Abaye. Now we've written in here a number one. This is an answer, an accepted answer. Abaye says, Omar Kraw, the Pasuk tells us that the 50 is limited to the fine payment of the as a result of the rape. Tachas asher ino. The 50 is tachas asher ino, is for the ino, that for the rape itself. Michlal de iko boishesham, that leaves us room to understand that there are additional payments as well. In other words, the 50 is described to cover the fine, implying that there is room for other payments as well. And hence, the 50 does not cover the boishes and pagam. Rava Omar, the Omar Kraw, the Pasuk says, V'nosan ho'ish ha'shochev imo. That is the Pasuk, which refers to the payment. The man who raped her pays. And from here we learn, Hanoas shchiva chamishim. For the copulation is the payment of 50 made. Mechlal di'iko milsachriti. It implies that there are other things as well. Umayni, what are those other things? Boishes upegam. So we see from here that the 50 does not cover everything. It covers the actual, it's the fine for the actual act of copulation, but there are additional payments for embarrassment and for depreciation. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.